Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is the text. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Our gospel reading this week is a continuation of last week's reading where Jesus tells his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in, remains in the vine. This is important context for what we hear Jesus say today, because if we don't know that the words we hear today flow out of I am the vine, you are the branches, there could be confusion. This probably should just be one gospel reading, except it gets a little bit long. So they broke it up. And really what we hear today needs to be understood as flowing out of this entire four-chapter section of the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room on the night in which he was betrayed. He keeps coming back to this word, command or commandment. What is it that he has commanded of his disciples, commanded of you, commanded of me? Our sinful self, the old Adam in us, reads this or reads the epistle lesson where the word shows up numerous times also from the hand of John, from 1 John. Our old Adam hears this and wants this command or commandment to be some work that we do. Oh, how our old Adam wants us to be able to justify ourselves before God. Justify our thoughts, our words, our actions. Those wonderful good things that we do. Helping our neighbor and such. Our sinful nature wants God to see that as coming from us. As if any of the good that we do actually flows from within us. As if goodness and mercy naturally flows out of my heart. It doesn't. Whatever good I have has come from outside of me. Whenever we read words like obey or commandment in Scripture, we've been talking about this a lot in Bible class lately because it keeps showing up. Understand you're reading English words that don't really correspond with the true, deeper meaning of the original. And our sinful self wants to read this strictly as law, as something we achieve by our doing, as if God is providing a ladder for us to climb up to heaven. The problem is that the English just doesn't convey the intention of the original language. In Scripture, commandments are not simply a set of rules. The commandments are what God has said truth is. They are the will of God for you expressed in words. Now, God certainly desires pious thoughts and kind words and good works that help our neighbor. These are pleasing to God. Yes, these are commanded by God. But they do not naturally flow out of our hearts. And there is nothing that you or I can do on our own that gets us one step closer to the kingdom of God. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift from God, apart from works, lest any man should boast, as St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. That being an absolute truth for us English speakers, it can be puzzling as to why Jesus is talking so much about commands and commandments with his disciples in the upper room. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, he says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So I am Jesus' friend only if I do what he commands? Again, this is why we don't study the Bible by picking and choosing one verse here and another one there, take them out of their context and say, here, see, this is what he's saying. If we say that the commandments that Jesus is talking about with his disciples there in the upper room, if we're saying that these are rules, these are like the Ten Commandments, then I would have to conclude that I am not his friend because I don't keep them. The point that Jesus is making is, I am the vine, you are the branches, and everything that you have has come from me. If you are not grafted into me, if you are not fused into me, you can do nothing. You cannot know God, you cannot believe in God, you cannot have access to the Father except through the Son. He's been saying this, you know, to his disciples there in the upper room. Again, you need to read all four chapters to put it all in context. You certainly cannot think or speak or do what is righteous in the sight of God if you are not grafted into the vine. I am commanding you, he said, to believe that I am the vine, so that the result will be that you will bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness, and you will love one another, even if it means you have to lay down your life for one another. Greater love has no one than this, he says. If you want to see the love of God for you, look to the cross. Look to that broken body and shed blood of the Son of God. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, you know, ponder this thought. If the greatest love, greater love has no one than this, then he laid down his life for his friends. That being true, the love that God has for you, therefore, is greater than the love that your mother has for you. And it is greater than the love that you have for your mother. I mean, that in itself is great. What we have with Christ is even more. It is why we gather together and devote our lives to him. Jesus begins by talking about love. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, our sinful self wants to run right past this verse and get to where we hear about what we need to do, because we always like to know what we need to do and then we can fix things. But don't miss the point here. In the same way that the eternal Son of God is united to the Father by this self-sacrificial giving, going to the cross, carrying the burden of the world, as he is united to the Father through this act, by doing the will of the Father. And you go all the way back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. It was the Father's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. That's what the suffering servant was sent to do. He fulfills the will of the Father by giving of himself, even dying for his friends. In the same way that Jesus is united in this self-sacrificial giving to the Father, so he is united in this self-sacrificial giving to you. Greater love has no one than this. And just as you cannot destroy the oneness of the Trinity, so also he will never leave you or forsake you. You can be absolutely confident in the gift of God that you have been given when the Son of God laid down his life for his friends. And again, greater love has no one than this. Jesus says, abide in my love. Remain, exist in my love. Where does this existing come to us? That's the whole point. It doesn't come from your heart. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide in my love. I will give to you what you need. He's already said before to his disciples, if you are my disciples, you will keep my word. And what this is all about is God's eternal word, the word by which he spoke creation into existence, the word joined with water that has given you new life, that word which continually feeds you and builds you up, the word of life which flows from the vine to the branches. This word Jesus speaks again and again, and we hear it as he has given us his word, as he comes to us as the word made flesh that still dwells among us, as he comes to us under the form of bread and wine. Jesus continually feeds and nourishes the branches that are grafted into the vine. Now, this word that we hear again and again in our readings today that gets translated in English as commandment, it has a greater meaning than simply rules to obey. Jesus did not come to give you a bunch of rules to obey. Think of this as part, think of this as an eternal truth expressing the full will of God, which is to be believed. It's all about faith in that word. If you go back and reread the epistle lesson from 1 John, John talks about commandments, but then he says, it's faith. This is what it's about. It's faith alone that saves us. Faith that God has created in you. Trust him. Believe in him. As Scripture says, be sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. If you have that certainty of what you do not see, the good works will follow. Actions are the fruit of faith. A good tree bears good fruit, as Jesus says. More appropriately, as we ponder Jesus' words in the upper room, we understand that a good branch bears good fruit because of the vine. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.